I won't take any time for introductions. I'll introduce one individual, Mr. Juan Cantu. Juan is native to Lubbock County. He's representing Indigo. I'm going to have Juan come up and introduce his team, and then they have a presentation for you.
Well, thanks for having us out today. I want to introduce some of my teammates here at Indigo Ag. So we got Kira Cronin-Albert here. She's our technologies partners manager. Develops a lot of those relationships with a bunch of third-party vendors that we work with. Over here at our table, we got J.W. Webb. He's one of our agronomists out in the Lubbock area. Trent Newell and Kyle Daly is over our Indigo research partner. So he does a lot of our research trials and brings a lot of that data back to us. So just kind of get a little introduction of what we are here at Indigo. So just give them a kind of overview of what we do here at Indigo and how kind of our core beliefs or how we're helping growers out. So three main core values that we look at, definitely focusing on farmer profitability. So that's our number one goal, is to make the grower more profitable on his operation, be able to continue doing what he's doing, improving sustainability of agriculture. So not only helping out the grower, but practicing new sustainable practices, being able to be, you know, less inputs, more yield, and a better alignment of with agriculture practices with consumer health. So basically, we're looking at better quality food and fiber to be produced out. A little bit of background. So we are pretty much worldwide. We got locations all over the world. Our two main headquarters is in Boston, Massachusetts, and our commercial headquarters is in Memphis, Tennessee. So right now, well, we started up in 2014, have over 650 million private investors that we've had to this company. Been very fortunate to keep on with that. We've increased to over 1,000 employees in a very short amount of time, so we're growing at a fast rate. Been doing some really cool improvements in technologies, and our main focus is in microbials. Right now, we only treat up to five crops. So we got cotton, wheat, soybeans, rice, and corn. So get an idea of how we actually make this work. We start looking at high stress fields right here. So looking at different areas that, you know, really high stress, whether it's drought stress, nutrients, insect infestation, diseases, any of that. When we take a look at what's going on with the plant. There's some plants out there that are thriving, and there's reasons why they're thriving. So we go out there, take those samples out, start breaking it down into our laboratory out in Boston, start diagnosing what's going on, what's causing that plant to be more thriving in that environment, that stressful environment. And what we do is we break it down and look at the microbes that are surrounding that plant. You know, why is it helping it out? From then, we break it down even further, so we figure out, target what microbes are actually helping out, kind of culture those up, grow them in a greenhouse, kind of mass produce it and get to the idea of, you know, this specific microbial is actually helping out for a certain stress. Then afterwards, we take it to our field trials, which we have people like Kyle that's helping us out on the Indigo Research Partners to actually put it to the test. You know, is the microbes that we're looking at for this particular plant actually helping it, and why is it helping it? So we do further research on that, and then eventually it gets up to our commercial field, which we see a lot out in there. Have a lot of acres out here with cotton, a lot in corn, soybeans, and very heavily in rice. But Indigo is kind of evolving a little more into just microbials. So now, you know, microbials is our main focus. We move out to technology. So we're adopting a whole bunch of new technologies, drones, satellite imagery, different sensors that we use, working with different partners all over the U.S. To help out growers in any way we can. Same for the digital agronomy. We do look at a lot of data points that are coming in, you know, big important factors, you know, bringing all these data sets, looking at them, what's the data telling us, what's going on. Carbon credit's a new one that we're taking out on top of what we're about to talk to on this water credit or this water program we're looking at. And also geospatial technology, as I said, we actually acquired a satellite company And so now we're looking at multiple fields, acres, and doing different analysis on them. Eventually we're getting into more crop yields, estimates, stresses in the field, problems that are going on in the field, any of that stuff, being able to have it right there in your hand on your iPad, your phone. So really neat stuff that's coming down the line. Kind of get an idea of how our microbials are working. So this is one side-by-side trial that we had down in Lewaukee and down in Wall of cotton. So with our microbial treatment, we see that the indigo treated and untreated, we actually had a 46% increase in the root mass and also a 66% increased bulb per plant. So we're seeing something's going on here, that our microbials are actually doing some work and making that plant thrive in some pretty stressful situations. So just kind of an example of what our product is actually doing and how it's working. So back to the whole evolving and everything with indigo, our main focus, of course, is grower profitability. And the big issue around, mostly in this area, is our water. Being able to utilize the water as much as we can, increase our yields, all that good stuff. But there is a big, issue that we see is, you know, our depletion of our aquifer. You know, being able to use that water more efficiently and stuff, and to still be able to help out the grower in any way we can, you know, financially wise. And so we're coming up with a program we're working on, and Kira can touch a little more on this, of our indigo water solution that we're rolling out here soon. So Kira, do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So when we started to think about this problem, you know, as Juan mentioned, grower profitability is one of our core values. So we have three. Grower profitability is number one. Sustainable agriculture is number two. And as we are a new company and kind of evolving, we thought up of a new kind of business function that we really think could be of benefit, because we kind of see this opportunity, and I'll paint the opportunity as I talk about these three different situations. So situation number one, and I know Lloyd has talked about this in his previous presentation, but consumers want sustainable goods. They want to see where it originated from. They want it sustainably sourced and or grown. So we hired a company to do a bit of a market analysis on consumer demand trends, mainly focused on apparel, of course, because we're talking about cotton here. So you can see on the right-hand side, 38% of consumers would say that they would pay a premium for sustainable products. Traceable to farm, 10% globally, consumers are willing to pay as much as 10% for traceability. And then climate positive, there's a lot of climate talks, and you know, our consumers would be willing to pay more for climate-friendly products, whether it's carbon emissions, etc. So that's situation number one. And then situation number two is that there are apparel brands that we know that have very lofty goals. A lot of those goals pertain to water. Water is the number one goal of fashion brands, yet they are not engaging with farmers. That's a clear disconnect. And so again, our team went and had, we have a team called Market Development at Indigo, and what their sole job is to do is to understand what buyers want. And we see ourselves as that connector. So we went and surveyed 20 major apparel brands. 85% have sustainability goals, 75 of which relate to water savings. And when we talk to apparel brands, the biggest problem for them is that because the cotton supply chain is so fragmented, of course, it's a global good, they have very little insight into the supply chain. So when they look at water savings, they look right at manufacturing and say, okay, we'll focus on manufacturing because it's only one step before us. Whereas we, you know, a lot of water is realized in other stages of cotton, which is some of it being in production, a lot of it being in production, and in other stages. So we see a big shortfall with brands being able to actually reach these goals every year. So this is something that they've highlighted to us in every conversation that we have with them on sustainability. So just to highlight the two main points, so brands mainly focus on water savings during manufacturing phase, yet more can be done by engaging and cost sharing with farmers, just to reiterate that point. And brands find it increasingly difficult with farmers to meet their, or difficult to connect with farmers to meet their goals and offset their footprint. Situation number three is you guys. Growers' margins are squeezed so tightly that irrigation optimization decisions are challenging. When you're trying to break even at the end of a season, do you really think about that all the time? I mean, there's so many other things. Think about fuel cost. Think about the cost of your inputs, your chemistry. Think about maintenance costs on your equipment, on your pivots. Think about the labor that you need to run your operation. Well, you know, it puts you into the hole a certain amount per acre on the right-hand side, you can see. And then, oh, I guess I can point right here. And then this is kind of, you know, the question that you ask yourself at the end of the season. Where am I going to land? What price can I get? And, you know, irrigation optimization maybe is not secondary to, hey, am I going to have, you know, am I still going to be in business next year? So just to summarize here, every season is a balancing act for a grower's livelihood. And currently the burden of farm water sustainability falls solely on farmers. So thinking about one, two, and three, how do we solve that? And this is where we're starting to talk about what we're calling our water credit. As I said, we see ourselves as bridging that gap for farmers. So we connect with brands, we help them reach their water goals. They have more increased transparency across their supply chain. They can see on a field level, you know, where they're seeing water savings. For growers, we're already rewarding you. We're just rewarding you for things that you're already doing. You know, you think about these things. I mean, you can see Lloyd and all the changes that he's made. This is just rewarding for practices that are already done. Increased profitability per acre. Again, tying right back to what we are all about here at Indigo. Completely voluntary. So this is by no means something that, you know, you're going to be automatically signed up for. This is something that is on at your own accord. Ensures privacy of data. So the data that you generate is yours. In the water credit verification phase, we, Indigo, would need to have some kind of verification on a field level, but the data does not escape that system. The data is yours. And then sharing expensive equipment costs. So we're looking at partnerships and other funding, creative funding ways that we can help to share costs here, because of course VRI, et cetera, is, you know, it's not a cheap thing, it's expensive. So that's how we see us helping from a large perspective. So basically how it's done, growers generate water credits for using less water than a benchmark. And you'll see that in the center of your tables, there is a survey that we've handed out. It's a hard copy. It will have, so as we're still working on this program, we need everybody's input. Of course, we can't do this without your perspective. We think we have some interesting ideas, but we would love your input. So benchmarking is definitely one thing that we're thinking through right now, and we think we have an interesting way to benchmark something that is fair, but we would like your input. So if you could take a look at the survey, just put down your thoughts. There's no need to put down your name or anything like that. Just a quick, it's just a quick rundown of some questions to help us. So we would, and then the credits are sold to consumers and brands. Again, program priorities, just to highlight this, is completely voluntary. It's opt-in. Recognition. We're here to reward you for what you're already doing. Plain and simple. And privacy. The data is yours. Just to reiterate. So, as I mentioned, there's a survey. One of the ways in which we would have to verify a credit, thinking from a brand perspective, a brand will want something that's verifiable. You know, they don't want to just say, okay, like, we wrote down this total gallon saved over the course of the season. They'll want something that's, okay, yes, this was measured. It was this piece of equipment that measured it. Great. So we have some thoughts on how we would collect data on a field level. but would love your feedback. And there's a few questions on that form that that ask you about that. So this is a, basically you see the system on the left. There's different ways that growers collect data on a field level. Of course, self-reporting is done quite often here in this particular part of Texas. What we would need in terms of validating a credit, one is irrigation amount. We can't really get that. And the other thing would be timing. And those are the two parameters that we would need to verify that credit. Some of the different options that we have tossed around at Indigo and have had some conversations with growers already on what we can use. So self-reporting is always there. The problem with self-reporting is when we think from a brand perspective as well, is that something that they're gonna, you know, wanna rely on? We don't know. Some might not. But I think so a standardized way to measure that would be needed. So we have, we know flow meters is a very common hot topic. Flow meters could be one option. We also have pressure sensors and data systems, data collection systems. One thing that's not on here is like your pivot track or your ag sense. That could be an easy way for us to verify those two data items. So if you have any additional input here on if there's something else that would help to measure those two parameters, we would love your feedback. So just trying to imagine what can we use, what can be standardized across across Texas, across ideally the U.S. is, you know, we're hoping to roll this out across the nation because we're hoping to stand up a free market of water credits. But the idea is something that can be more readily adopted, that's not expensive, that we can help to cost share or completely subsidize, that we can track this data. Okay, so benchmarking, again, we think we have a good solution here, but if you have any additional input, please take a look at the survey and let us know what your thoughts are. So when we define a benchmark, we want growers in mind first and foremost. And we've talked to a few growers. We actually talked to Lloyd and his wife not very long ago and kind of talked through this program a little bit. Now it's a little bit later on, but we think we've captured a few different things that are paramount to grower. If you have any additions, please let us know. Minimize cost. Cost is key. We don't want this to be expensive. In fact, we want it to be ideally fully subsidized. So minimizing cost is paramount. Proof of profitability uplift. So as Lloyd was talking about, you know, you'll still have yield boost whilst optimizing your water. But of course we need proof. We can't just rely on anecdotal evidence or anecdotes, not evidence. But so the idea here is that we would partner with centers of excellence. So we talk about research institutions. Here would be likely Texas Tech, Texas A&M, maybe UGA in Georgia. So we will heavily rely on partners to help us make sure that we can inform the exact ways in which this is helping optimize your yield as well as increasing water use efficiency on your acres. Comparisons, oops, sorry. There we go. Comparisons to other farmers in the local area, you want to see how you're doing. Capacity of wells to be considered. A fair and comprehensive process. And then, of course, again, privacy of data. So there are a few other considerations that we have here. The main goal is to incentivize growers to reach maximum water use efficiency. How we would start this benchmarking process is we would segment growers into peer groups based on soil type, crop type, weather, a few other parameters. Show growers that water savings can create yield uplift by facts, by evidence. and ensure the benchmarking process is done in collaboration with at least one or more of the following: Texas Tech, TAWC, Texas A&M AgriLife, USDA, just to name a few. So we've looked into three different methods, but we believe that an optimal benchmark here is the way that we would like to go when we talk about issuing a carbon credit, or sorry, is it carbon credit? Water credit. A few others that we have taken into account are historical water use and current, based on the current season, but we believe that benchmarking, or optimal benchmark, is the most fair, is the most comprehensive way of doing so. So I'll go through that, but if you have any additional comments on maybe you think that another one would be better, please provide us with that feedback so that we can bring that back to our team. So the optimal benchmarking process. As I said, we would segment growers based on soil type, crop type, weather, everything that essentially will affect the water requirements of your crop. Two, understand optimal watering amounts over the course of a season. So this is where we're looking to really work with partners here to help define what this would be. So of course, depending on where you are, geographically speaking, this will be subject to change. And what we have here is water required in inches, and on the x-axis we have weeks after planting, and this is cotton. This is actually pulled from UGA, so not applicable in this area, but this is the idea. And then we would set a benchmark based on the optimal water requirements. So here you can see yield versus water applied. Our optimal benchmark would be here. We're going to assume that grower average is a little bit above. And so we would set a benchmark just in the middle so that we're not going to assume that everyone is completely water efficient. There's going to be improvements to make. So we have a little bit of a buffer here where the water benchmark would be, and say the water credit benchmark, and I'll run through an example in a second here, but that's the idea. So you would be rewarded for the gap between water use efficiency and the benchmark. So we'll go through a quick example. So we have grower Gabby. She's in West Texas. Her soil texture, sandy loam, semi-arid climate region. She's growing cotton. So she has, over the course of the season, used 11 acre inches on her cotton crop. So we have set an optimal benchmark at 10 acre inches. Gabby's use is here at 11. This is the optimal here. Our benchmark is actually at 12. So Gabby actually managed to save 1 acre inch. 1 acre inch is around 27,000 gallons. One water credit is 1,000 gallons, which equates to 27 credits. It's a very brief run through of how we're thinking about it. We are working through pricing of our credits. We've gotten a lot of feedback from growers on, hey, I would only want to see this amount minimum, otherwise I'm not interested. We also have that on the survey, so if you have a specific ROI that you would like to see, please put it down so that we can better help to inform our pricing on that. That's it. Thank you guys so much. So the survey is again on your tables. If you can take a few minutes just to fill it out, that would be very, very appreciated. So myself, Juan, JW, and Trent, and Kyle, who's sitting over there now, will be here. So if you have any questions and you want to just chat about it one-on-one, please come up to us and ask us any questions. And all of our contact information is in the slide deck. So if you want to reach out to us, please do so. We would love your feedback. So thank you.